Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back. Welcome to NS9 Live. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we got Jim. We got Tyler. What's up, boys?
What's happening? Long time no see.
I know. It's been 19 minutes.
I don't know. It's long been time like, no see for me.
It's been like 25 because we're a little late.
We.
Me. I was a little late.
Right. But no need for concerns. Everyone knows it's 9-ish.
Is everybody else like run down? Like the first 2 weeks have been a little exhausting, haven't they, boys?
You know, I'm good right now. After that post game,
you're good.
I'm good to go. I thought I was going to be like real beat for this. I mean, I had a week from hell, like the first half of the week, travel wise. So I thought this was going to be rough. But the Pirates are 6-1. We just gave away more sandwiches. Like,
true.
I'm running on adrenaline right now.
Yeah. Inject me with these Pirates victories. I'm good.
Imagine how much better Jim would feel if he would have had a permini sandwich before this show.
Seriously.
He'd be on top of the world.
Yeah. I'm about to crack open, though, my third energy drink of the day. So that's
not a kind of where night.
He's opening an energy I'm at. Drink.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know what's better than eating a permani sandwich? Giving one away. And we gave two away again for the sixth time this year. Pirates are 6-1, fellas. Actually, you know what, Tyler? They're 6-1. Mr. 74 wins. Mr. Michael A. Taylor sucks.
Listen, man, I will gladly be wrong when it comes to this. There is no complaining here. I'll gladly criticize everybody if it turns into them being good. Unfortunately, like through my career of talking about the Pirates, me being negative is usually right, and that's more of an indictment on the Pirates.
Bucko Mike will be the judge of that.
True. But remember, the tides are turning, baby.
Let's recap this like first two series week, if you want to call it. Again, like the Pirates are 6-1. Granted, they play the Marlins, who are now 0-8. And they just finished up this series against the Nationals. But you only play against your opponents you're given. And so far, they are 6-1. The bats are alive. The bullpen looks really good. And honestly, like so far, the rotation's been good enough.
Rotation's been good enough. Bullpen's been really good. And the offense has been timely. Like the hitting has been in big spots. Some games have been pretty frustrating with runners in scoring position, but I mean, like today, like I think there were like 2-for-4 with runners in scoring position. There wasn't a whole lot of opportunities, but when they had them, they delivered, came through when they needed to. And yeah, it's been good small ball, kind of like fundamental baseball on offense so far this season. There's been some pretty sloppy moments like on the base paths or in the field, but they're 6-1 right now. And I still don't think we've seen this team like really click and like fire on all cylinders. We haven't really seen the bats power potential that's there really take off. Like the home runs have been pretty spotty. Like I think they've got less than maybe 7 homers on the year. So like 1 per game is what they're averaging right now. So like, it's not like they're scoring all these runs by hitting the ball over the fence a ton. They're stringing hits together. They're putting together good at bats. And like I said, they're not even running the bases all that well. It's just they're just doing enough things well to be 6-1 now, sitting atop, you know, MLB standings. They're the best team in baseball, tied with the Yankees, best record in baseball.
Can I ask? Yeah, just
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, kind of feeding off of Jim there. Let me present this question to both of you. Do you look at that and feel inspired that, you know, they are 6-1 and playing this well in lieu of playing terrible defense? And you talk about the base pads, like it seems like the fundamentals have really lacked. And in spite of that, they're 6-1 because like all the other stuff is looking really like you can say the timely hitting, like the hitting with two outs, two strikes, you know, the making contact, doing well on, like all the other stuff. Like, is there maybe, like you say, like, is more to come, or is that just going to get more exposed, the bad base running, the bad defense, and turn the tides?
You want to take it, Tyler?
Yeah, so I obviously some of the flaws we've seen at this point, I think, are going to be exposed at some point. But also, like Jim mentioned, we haven't seen the power potential from this team yet. So a lot of the things we haven't seen yet, I think, will be offset. There are other concerns with the team, and I think they lie outside of their bats, because I do think that there's a lot of potential there with this lineup. I think you guys talked about it at some point during your postgame show today, that really down the line here, like, there are guys that are threats everywhere in this lineup. At the very least, 1 through 8, for the most part, the entire season should be a threat to at least hit the ball over the wall. So I don't know if maybe the base running will probably get exposed, but I think there's other things that they haven't really shown yet to this point that kind of take a step forward, and the base running will get cleaned up. I think it's early in the year, and a lot of teams, I'll be honest, I haven't watched that many other teams hand up, but I'm sure other teams are having some struggles fundamentally as well. So really, like, I'm okay with where they're at right now. I'm pretty, maybe not inspired like DiNardo says, but cautiously optimistic is the word I will use, or the phrase I will use at this point.
Hey, we'll take that from Tyler. We'll take cautiously optimistic from Tyler all day long.
I was last year as well, Jim.
And look how that turned out. You really just need to be inspired. Just jump with both feet in.
I will never be inspired by anything.
But let's be honest, Jim, anyway. I will take that, because when Tyler says you suck, you hit 500. So if he's actually cautiously optimistic, this team is winning 120.
Yeah, no, we'll take that from Tyler. But I mean, I kind of agree with him, right? Like, there are definitely things that this team, it could do better right now. And there's going to be things that they're doing right now that are probably not sustainable, right? Like, Michael A. Taylor isn't going to bat 500. Not going to happen.
No shit, Jim.
Connor Joe's not going to have an OPS pushing 1100. Like, these are things that aren't going to happen, right? But when you look at those things and they're going to regress down, there's going to be other things too. Like, we haven't seen that first Jack Sawinski hot streak where he just looks like Babe Ruth for a week, right? O'Neal Cruz is having an okay start of the season, but it's not. There's going to be stretches where O'Neal Cruz is just hitting everything 110 miles an hour, and he's just on fire, right? Ke'Bryan Hayes defensively is just like, looks like Pedro Alvarez, right? So, like, there's things going on right now that are going to get better. And the bullpen, though, maybe being the one piece where it's like, you know what, the bullpen's doing what we expected them to do. Mm-hmm. And the starting pitching, I think, also doing what we expected them to do, like, inconsistent, maybe not going super deep into games, not being dominant. Mitch Keller has been a disappointment so far, so you got to expect he's going to be better. Are you necessarily going to get 10 strikeout performances out of Jerry Jones every time out? Probably not. Are you going to get 7? And is Martin Perez going to go into the 7th inning every time out? Probably not, right? But there's enough things going well and enough things not going well to make you think that this team can make some noise.
I like that. I feel, just given the week we've seen so far, right? We had this spring, and you're seeing things you want to see, but again, like, stats don't matter, right? And it's kind of weird this spring. Like Martin Perez, like, he looked good in spring, but like, what's going to happen? In the same sense, Gonzalez didn't look good in spring, and he looked really good in his outing, in his first start for the Pirates. So far, what you have is you have 7 games. And in those 7 games, yes, like, the offense makes me feel much better about how I felt about the offense. Like, I was kind of optimistic about it. And so far, I mean, really good, right? And you, again, like, you're getting production out of Rowdy Tellez, which I was very unsure about, you know? It just looks good top to bottom and like in solid depth too. So there's that. The bullpen is pretty much as advertised so far. There's that. And that's also without Majinski and Holderman, right? They've been down. So it also makes you feel like, okay, there's some depth to this as well for some of the other guys that you weren't relying on potentially, right? I know it's young to the season. That's the theme for this entire show until like May-ish, but like Ryder Ryan looked pretty damn good, right? No one was counting on him. He looks like he belongs in a bullpen right now. So like that makes you feel really good. And then, yeah, like getting to the rotation, Jared Jones, I can't wait for tomorrow's start. I just want to see more of him. I know he was kind of exciting in spring, but like, okay, it just only 1-2-inning spurts, right? Like we know where his issues kind of come up, but that start against Miami, baby. Now he's got a real test with him tomorrow against the Orioles. So we're about to really find out. But yeah, like if he can truly step up, you know, we kept talking about Romanzi and Quinn, right? And Luis Ortiz, like one of those have to step up because we were just kind of dismissing Jared Jones. He's absolutely going to start in AAA. If he can be what you're hoping the other guys to be and maybe better, makes you feel a little bit better about this rotation for sure.
For the record, I'm going to go back and find that podcast where I said, when do we start thinking about Jared Jones being in the rotation in the beginning of the year? And you guys both looked at me like, maybe not yet.
Well, I mean,
just for the record, I just want to point that out.
We know how the Pirates operate.
Yeah.
And everybody else wants to trash me on Michael A. Taylor. Let me have my Jared Jones love.
You're right. And once spring started and we kind of knew what this pitching rotation was looking like, it looked more and more like Jared Jones was a possibility. And yeah, I'm excited to see him again tomorrow. His first start, I didn't really get to catch the entire thing, was kind of doing Easter stuff that day. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that home opener in front of a electric crowd at PNC Park tomorrow. That's going to be really cool. And what's neat about the Jared Jones stuff is, like, it's not just Pirates fans who are excited about this dude. Like, he's getting a lot of national attention, and he's only had one start. Like Fangraph's article yesterday titled, "Let's All Get Irresponsibly Excited About Jared Jones," right?
Right.
Like reading that article, I was just like, this is awesome, right? He is the number one rated fastball in baseball this season. He is the number 6 rated slider in baseball this season. Like, he's basically Jacob DeGrom. Like, that's what we're saying. It's one start, but he's been Jacob DeGrom like through one major league start. So yeah, like, let's see more of this stuff. Yeah, it's exciting to see. His fastball. It's like him, Bobby Miller, Spencer Strider, like. Those are the names that they're mentioning here. So,
but let me add on to your point.
That's just really cool.
So you don't sound insane to the people of, oh my God, one game. He was getting this buzz in spring because in spring he was like, what, 4th for stuff plus, like in total. Like these national people that are looking at him, this isn't also just coming off of because of that one start. It started in spring. Like the eyes were being caught. And then he had that start and it was like, oh, okay. Like, there's some validation to all the hype in spring. Now, of course, it's got to keep coming. But, like, Jim, like, this isn't just because he had one great start. This has been some lead up to this also.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't just me mentioning this, you know, incoherent fan. Like, this is Ben Clemens at Fangraphs writing a 2,000-word article about how awesome Jared Jones is, right, and why. So, It's pretty neat to see. I can't really remember the last time the Pirates had a pitcher like this. It was probably Gerrit Cole. Like the last time the Pirates brought up a pitcher and national media was like, this dude's a stud. It was Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
Juan Nicasio, that first start.
So like it's been a decade since we had a pitcher like this where other people took notice and was like, This guy's got something.
Can we just go on the
second closest would be Glasnow, but like if this is nothing, like this dominates whatever hype Glasnow had.
Probably because at that point Glasnow was I don't know. The Pirates had kind of ruined a lot of things, but can we just take a timeout here?
Tyler's Jim, like, let's take a timeout.
I'm calling time. I'm calling time. Call McKim Mulkey. Yeah, look at that. College basketball, women's basketball reference. Jim now has compared Jack Sawinski to Prime Juan Soto and Jared Jones to Jacob DeGrom in back-to-back years.
I don't see anything wrong with that. Nothing at all.
That is where we're at this point.
Hey, you know what? Last year when I said that about Jack Sawinski, I think we were like 20 and 6. Now we're 6-1, and yeah, we got Jacob DeGrom on our team. What's the issue?
Jim.
Paul Skeens isn't even here yet.
God, and that's the end of this article. Just to get even more excited. The Pirates look frisky this year, and Paul Skeens isn't even up yet. It's going to be a fun one in the NL Central. Those are the last two sentences.
I cannot wait until he compares like Paul Skeens to Shohei Ohtani without the gambling problem.
Ooh, why would you downplay Paul Skeens like that?
Yeah, his girlfriend's way prettier. I don't even know if Shohei Ohtani has a girlfriend. Either way.
He's a wife. Shohei's married.
Yeah, I don't know their marital statuses. I don't care. Either way. Very excited about Jared Jones tomorrow. Results-wise, like it, when you look at the final box score, it didn't look as good as he looked. The one part about Jared Jones I think I'm interested in at this point is I know the efficiency has been a problem in the minor leagues, but once you get to the majors, you're not really working on anything anymore. And the Pirates do have kind of a reputation of you're going to work on a lot of things, and maybe their minor league pitchers don't have the lights out numbers that they could have. So I'm excited to watch that development through this season of where those numbers are, what he's throwing compared to what he was throwing in the minors. And I don't know. I feel like the Pirates, when they call them up, they could be better numbers wise than they were in the minors, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm part of this thing with Jared Jones in particular is the fastball has gotten better. Like compared, because there was Statcast data from his fastball.
Yeah, you shared a tweet about it. It was awesome.
Yeah, like it has taken a gigantic step forward. He is a better pitcher now than he was when he was in AAA. So, yeah. Excited to see him. And you mentioned the line and the efficiency piece. Honestly, right now, if he's going to be striking out 10 batters, I don't really care about the efficiency. Like if he's going to be doing this kind of stuff, just let him go out there and give you 5 innings of just elite stuff. And then just turn it over to the bullpen. Like I don't need 6-7 innings out of Jared Jones every night.
And that's the thing. Like the last start, he did carry the stuff later into the game as well. And I think he was efficient as well while doing so, which is why I mentioned just what the pitch mix and everything of what's going to happen while he's with the major league club compared to what it would be maybe if he's in Indianapolis.
We got some breaking news. So if you're watching this and you're going to the game tomorrow, or if you're listening to this tomorrow and you're going to the game, home opener, Andrew McCutchen has officially asked for a blackout. All right. So if you're going to the home opener,
hopefully you're not in your car when you're listening to this.
hopefully, you hear this before you go to the game, but wear black tomorrow. I'm excited for the atmosphere tomorrow. It's going to be pretty electric.
4:12 start, obviously. Love it. So yeah, blackout. I mean, I think everyone kind of expected that, right? It's kind of weird they waited this long to make it official, but I think it was unofficially a blackout.
And it's not even like official. Andrew McCutchen just tweeted it out. So
it's Andrew McCutchen tweeted out. It is official.
That's true. Official. Andrew McCutchen is the team. So yeah, if Andrew McCutchen says so, then yeah, that's true.
Correct. Andrew McCutchen said, "I'm a Pirate," and he was a Pirate. So when he speaks, you just listen. Shut up.
That's true. That's true.
He was basically like, "Guys, you are signing me."
Right.
And I was like, "Okay, how much money do you want?"
If you can make Bob Nutting listen to you, you better listen to him.
Yeah.
Bob, coffee now.
Right. But I wanted to say something on Tyler. I know I've said this before, but I just kind of want to reiterate it again, because like, I think he gets a lot of heat for not going deep into games, but like how Tyler said, working on things, like Jim and I remember talking to you last year on Starbucks quite a bit, and just kind of going back like his first, you know, few starts, it just seemed as if like it was by the Pirates, like holding him out from going deep into the game. You know, like it wasn't his fault. I mean, I'm looking at his game logs right now here too. Like he went 5 innings, gave up 7 hits, no walks, 5 strikeouts, 22 batters out. Next time out, 2.1 innings, right? Faced 8 batters, 2 hits, no walks. Went 4 innings, 2 hits, no, well, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. 4 innings, 4 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts. 4.1 innings, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. Like it wasn't as if like he was walking a lot of guys. Like you see the batter's face, 22, 8, 15, 16, 21. Like it almost seemed like by purpose he wasn't going deep into games. So it's almost like, again, like to your point, Todd, like I kind of want to see what he does this year, like with the reins off. Like now you're in the majors, what's going to happen? So giving him like a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that he doesn't go deep into the games, we'll find out. But again, like if you're striking out 10 people, you're throwing a lot of pitches because you're striking out those guys.
Right.
All very excited to see him.
Tomorrow's going to be actually a pretty interesting day, because I mean, we haven't even talked about minor leagues yet, but we had Murphy on Starbucks on Monday to kind of preview the week and preview the weekend. But yeah, Jared Jones starting in Pittsburgh, Paul Skeens starting in Indianapolis, Bubba Chandler starting in Altoona. Like those are three studs pitching tomorrow. So it's going to be a pretty exciting day all around. Not only if you follow the major league team, but if you follow the prospects and the minor league teams as well, should be a pretty fun day.
And I guess the good news in that is because the Pirates are playing at 4:12, Skeens is going to be later, so you might be able to catch both.
It is it's the free minor league game of the day too. So even if you don't subscribe to anything, Paul Skeens will be streamed live for free.
Well, I guess we don't pay Jim enough. He can't go to that game too. What are we doing around here?
Well, Jim's too tired.
God, what a lazy employee he is.
Right.
Yeah, I'm definitely too tired. I mean, that's like a 3-hour round trip to Indy. I'm not doing that. Sorry.
That's fine. Continue to be lazy. It's fine. We'll carry the ship.
Tyler might be wrong, but he's not lazy.
Yes, I am.
I was trying to carry a narrative. That's all.
Nope. Extra lazy. I don't want to do anything.
Well, let's get into the next thing here. Because the Pirates did make a couple moves. I mean, one of them was they traded Jackson Wolf back to the Padres. Seems to be a common theme. I don't think we need to talk too deep into that. But the other move that they made, which definitely leads to some conversation, they traded for Joey Bart, who was DFA'd by the Giants. Now, Joey Bart was a big-time prospect. He was looked to be the heir to Buster Posey's catcher throne there. Didn't really work out. We talked about a little bit this offseason because there was some wind brewing that he might be DFA'd. Is he going to make the opening day roster and the Pirates and their catching situation? Like, could that match up? MLB trade rumors kind of put out there and said, like, that looks like something that could happen. Didn't. They kept him. Didn't last too long. So he was DFA'd. Pirates picked him up. Now, my initial reaction, we could talk about this, but to go further, was why? Well, we certainly knew why, whether you wanted to or not. Jason DeLay going to the IL. So, no Jason DeLay for the time being. We already know the catching depth is non-existent because with the injuries already, with Yasmani Grandal, it looks like it's delayed and slowing down. He's possibly going to be running soon, whatever. So, no DeLay. Now it's Henry Davis and Joey Bart. What is everyone's thoughts on this?
I'll give you my thoughts. I think Joey Bart is a perfectly capable backup catcher. at the major league level. Obviously, he hasn't lived up to his expectations. He was at one point, I think, the number 14 prospect in all of baseball. He's number 2 overall pick. But and he put up good numbers in the minors, but then once he reached the majors, just couldn't put it together. Has some issues with swings and misses, but there's power there. He plays decent defense. He's not like a Gold Glover back there by any means, but decent framing. He's, again, a perfectly fine major league backup. When you couple this with the injury to Jason DeLay, which, you know, that kind of caught us a little bit off guard, but apparently he's been dealing with some issues for a while that have been lingering. They're just not getting better. It's getting worse. So he's now on the IL. You already had Grandal. He's on the IL. So with that happening, it's like, all right, well, you need a catcher. It's either you go out and you get Joey Bart, who just happens to be available now with DFA, or you're calling up Carter Bins. Like, those are your options, right? So this is clearly the option I think most people would prefer. Like I said, Bart has plenty of major league experience, has the pedigree, has played catcher his whole life. I just, not a whole lot to dislike about this move. The only thing that kind of sucks about this is Pirates are not very deep at catcher now all of a sudden. When kind of going into the season, you were like, okay, well, you've got Grandal, you've got Davis, you've got DeLay. Now all of a sudden with Grandal and DeLay down, your catching core is a guy who caught 2 innings last year and now Joey Bart. So yeah, not a lot of depth at the position right now, but the fact that Bart happened to be available at this moment, kind of lucky for the Pirates, because otherwise they would be in a little bit rough shape, scrambling with Carter Bins.
Yeah, and I think it's fine. It's probably as good as you can ask for at this point, because we're talking about a guy that defensively is, metric wise, has been pretty good behind the plate. Bat wise, there's some stuff to be desired, but it's hard to replace Jason DeLay, which is weird to say, because Jason DeLay is actually the perfect backup catcher. And I know it's a lot of luck bat wise, but he's done a lot of things really well and he's become very good behind the plate. Joey Bart's, from everything you can look at based upon his career, is a good backup guy for you. Maybe I would have liked to go like a Tyler Heineman type of dude because Mitch Keller pitches well to him, but I'm okay with this. I think if you're looking for a backup at this point, I don't know if you can have a better option.
Yeah, I mean, let's say they would have hung on to Ali Sanchez. Like, I'd rather have Joey Bart.
Oh, I agree. Way more potential there.
Yeah, I guess to my point of view, and I was kind of vocal about it, you know, on Twitter, with Jason DeLay being out, like at this point in time, I'm perfectly fine with this, more because of Tyler's point here. Like at this point, like you have to have another catcher. So at this point, is it going to be Carter Bins or someone out there? So the fact that like Joey Bart was available right now due to this injury to bring him on and such, like, yeah, I'm cool with it. Like, you're not giving up anything. They didn't. They traded Austin Strickland. Like, whatever, right?
Kentucky grad. I mean, it's honestly, it's better to get rid of those people.
I knew that was coming.
Louisville. But right, you know? So, like, I don't hate this in that sense. My issue at first was not knowing Jason DeLay was injured. I didn't like this. Because to Tyler's point, I feel the same way. And maybe I'm just way too high on Jason DeLay. But like as a backup catcher, he's the perfect backup catcher. You know, that's just like where I'm at as well. You know, like a lot of people say, well, you're a backup catcher. Like most catchers can't hit. So every backup catcher can't hit. And that's perfectly fine. You know, and Jason DeLay hit actually very well last year in the backup role. You know, I like to compare him to a sense of like what
very well. This,
I mean, he well enough
for a backup catcher. Yes, he did.
Hey, he hit well enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Keep going. Gotta go.
Very well enough are two completely different things to me. He's fine.
Yeah, he was fine. He was fine for a backup catcher. Like you said, perfect for a backup catcher.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask for much more.
I mean, he was 82 weighted on career plus, which I feel like as a catcher, that's like an average for a starting catcher.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but again, like the way I kind of look at him is I like to compare him a lot to like Chris Stewart, like in that sense. Like Chris Stewart was very, very good behind the plate defensively. Like that's what he was known for. But like had a good enough average, wasn't going to hit for power and such. Like the bat was, you know, to be more to be desired, but it wasn't like going to hurt you. And last year, like the starting catcher's bat literally hurt you. You know, Jason DeLay was better when he came in. So like to be a backup catcher, like I can't ask for anything more than Jason DeLay. And where I'm at is I feel like Joey Bart is worse than Jason DeLay. So it's like to add depth, you're pushing down the better player to AAA. So again, like now that he's on the aisle, I get it. But like what does worry me, and again, this is why I'm really worried at first too, was yes, Henry Davis has looked better. I don't worry about Henry Davis, but he is a guy who doesn't have much major league experience behind the plate. Like he's learning this right now as well. Not one pitcher has thrown to Joey Bart on this team. You know, like at least Jason DeLay also like knows the staff. He's been there. You talk about Mitch Keller as maybe that's what going to like, is he going to be the personal catcher to Mitch Keller going for? Maybe Mitch needs that. I don't know, but like that's gone. So and if that's what you're like thinking about doing, well, now you have Joey Bart back there who's never worked with anybody. So like that's also what makes me a little nervous about this. So yes, there's a need. I get it. But like I am not inspired by Joey Bart by any means. Like he's just one of those guys. Like he's a name at this point in time. He's 27 years old. Pretty much is what he is. Like you look at since 2001, I think he's a 77th rated hitter as far as weighted runs created plus. Catcher, I should say, since then. Defensively, he's like even worse. I don't know. I think he gets too much hype defensively. Like, he's fine.
He hasn't caught that many innings, though. He's like, not... I think that's unfair.
Okay. He really hasn't. But also, your point, like, I don't think anybody's inspired by Joey Bart. No. Like, we're saying he's a perfectly fine backup. I think
some people are like, oh, my God, Joey Bart. What if he turns around? Change of scenery. They're going ultra Ben Cherington on this. He was a top prospect.
Jim, can
what if he turns it around?
Can I take this real quick?
You can take it, Tyler, yeah.
Snarder, why the hell do you follow those people?
I don't. They're in my mentions.
Ignore them. They're dummies. If they're inspired by Joey Bart, then like, what are we doing here?
Right. And I might be going a little, you know, on the.
Yeah,
on the
you're getting a little hyperbolic.
Yeah.
But I am not inspired. I'm still back to my old thoughts. Like, I don't want Joey Bart.
But the option is Joey Bart or Carter Benz.
Yeah. I don't want to see Carter Benz.
But you also kind of put yourself in that position.
Not really.
They've got four catchers. They've just got two of them that have been hurt. Yeah. Three, actually, because Endy's hurt. Like, you want to throw Endy in there.
Three catchers hurt. Like, what do you want from them? They're starting a right fielder, a catcher right now.
Yeah, like Joey Bart's their fifth option. So, like, I feel like they can't do much better here.
You know what? Jim, Michael McHenry would be very angry right now because back in 2011, he was like the eighth option. Yeah. And that fella hung around a little bit. I'd like to hear this conversation on Fort Fridays.
He's still hanging around. He's lurking on NS9 every other Friday.
This guy won't go away. But again, I understand he hasn't had a lot of time back there, but like you go year over year, like I'm not trying to go all red circle, blue circle, but
I feel like you're arguing with yourself though. Yeah. Like no one, I don't think there's anyone out there who expects Joey Bart to light the world on fire. The Pirates clearly don't. Like today would have been a perfect day to get Henry Davis an off day. Like the dude's caught four games in a row. There's a home opener tomorrow. So, like, today would have been a great day to just throw Joey Bart back there. And they didn't do it. Like, Joey Bart's clearly not going to get a whole lot of playing time on this team. So, like, the team doesn't really believe in him. He's just another catcher that lets them keep Carter Bins in the minors. Like that's what we're dealing with right now. And then, and if that's his job, he's perfectly capable of doing that job.
Yeah. We're talking Jason DeLay, I pray you get healthy. Godoy.
He's better than Jose Godoy.
Yeah, like that's fine.
He's better than Ali Sanchez. And again, like this is the fifth option. Like the other four guys are all either hurt or Henry Davis.
Right.
I mean, yeah, girl, they're other than Carter Benz, like Abraham Gutierrez or I don't even know if he's still on the team.
Right? Grant Cook at this point might be ahead of Gutierrez on the depth chart.
He probably is.
Like that's your options. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're on your fifth catcher seven games in.
Jason DeLay, please get healthy soon.
No, like I like DeLay a lot, actually. Like
I do too.
Yeah. I've absolutely nothing against DeLay. He's a perfectly fine backup.
Just Donardo loves him way more than he should.
Donardo loves him. But I think Bart is also a perfectly fine backup. Like if you give me Jason DeLay and Joey Bart and put them side by side, I couldn't really tell you which one's better. I could make an argument for both.
Honestly, if I'm arguing about a backup catcher, we're in good shape.
And that's the thing. Like, it is a backup catcher. It's not the biggest deal in the world. And I wasn't trying to make it a big deal in that sense. But I was...
You were making it... You were trying to make it a big deal.
At the time, though, I didn't see why. And again, Jason DeLay being injured makes all the sense. But it's just like, to me, I don't believe in Joey Bart's talents. I believe in Jason DeLay's and...
I would even
the other
say,
guy just to create depth didn't seem right to me.
I would even say if DeLay was completely healthy, this is still a good move because it's better to have three healthy catchers than two. Because like I said, something happens to catchers get hurt all the time. Henry Davis gets hit by a pitch every other game, right? All it takes is Henry Davis to get a ball to his hands. He's out for a month. And next thing you know, you've got Jason DeLay and Carter Bins splitting time for a month, right?
Or like that to the hand.
Right. So like this is just it's creating depth at a position that you're lacking depth at right now as far as healthy players. It's a good move. DeLay has options. The drop off, but like if there is a drop off between DeLay and Joey Bart, it is extremely minimal. It's so minimal that the 1 to 2 starts they get per week, it's not going to matter. So just being able to have that other guy at your disposal and not having to turn to Carter Bins when you need to is worth it. Like, just because if Jason DeLay goes to AAA, it's not like Jason DeLay is never coming back. Like, he's going to be back because stuff happens to catchers all the time.
I don't want to make this argument because it doesn't exist. So I'm not going to. But we differ severely there. That's all. But Joey Bart is a pirate.
I just think you're getting worked up over something that's really not important. Which
this is like
honestly is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because if this is what we're arguing about right now, Pirates are doing pretty well.
True.
Yeah.
It's not their starting center fielder.
Yeah, because I would be trashing that fella if he was hitting 120. Man, don't worry, fellas, it will come.
So I guess that wraps that Joey Bart news. Yeah, we kind of highlighted the week one. We talked a little about the home openers. Anything else that you guys wanted to add or talk about with this upcoming series?
Just the home opener is always awesome. Back when I lived in Pittsburgh, it was always a special day for me. I always got to go to it during the day with usually go with my dad or when I was in high school, go with some friends. Like it's a cool day. I wish I was back in Pittsburgh for it. So everybody who is in town, local, going to the game, enjoy yourself. It's been a long, long off season. So, yeah, get to the game, get there early, make some noise, wear black, have fun, enjoy Jared Jones and his PNC Park debut. So, should be an exciting day at the park. Should be just a fun weekend in general. It's always playing the Orioles is nice too because, you know, it's an easy trip for them. Should be good crowds really all three games.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just aside from the fan atmosphere there, talking baseball-wise, I think the Pirates absolutely have to take one at least. They cannot get swept here. They got to keep just some sort of momentum rolling here. You got to get one. And the Orioles, I think, are a better team. So that's why I think you have to get one there.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to ever get swept. So, yeah, take one.
You really need one, though.
If you need one. I mean, you don't really need one, but you want one. Two would be awesome.
Like you want two.
You take two out of three against the Orioles at this point. I mean, you're riding high. Like you're riding real high.
But part of that is again, like this is certainly a measuring stick series. You face the Marlins, you face the Nationals, so now you're getting real competition. Let's see where it is. Unfortunately, one of those is going to come with a Bailey Falter start. Deep breath out. But, you know, the other two, again, Jared Jones and Gonzalez. So, Marco Gonzalez is on the start. And again, we talk about, like, how good he actually did look his first time out. Now we're facing, this real lineup, too. So, we kind of get, like, a measuring stick on him. Like, this is a very interesting series as well.
And as OG Minlow brings up, try the Renegade Dog. Have you guys seen this? Have you seen the Renegade Dog?
Unfortunately, I've gone back and forth like on whether it looks good or not.
You know what? I'm in the camp where I think it looks good because I mean it's a hot dog with pulled pork and
I think it was a pot roast, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a pot roast. You're right.
It was pot roast.
I mean, all that stuff is delicious.
Yeah.
So I mean, you put it all together. Probably still pretty good. I feel like it's something like probably good to split. Probably good to split one of those.
See, now you sound like my mother. Well, she'll get on everything, like name every ingredient and say, well, you like this, you like this, one like this. I'm like, well, I don't want all that together.
And that's you do. I mean, like pierogies are basically just like mashed potato pasta, right? So
like mashed potatoes in a dumpling.
Yeah, like you would have mashed potatoes with your pot roast, right? All that's for just that goes hand in hand, right? So now you're just adding a hot dog to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would eat it. I will absolutely eat it. If you know me, I will eat it. I'm just not looking at that saying, "Oh my God, look at this." Now, like when I saw the Korean chicken bucket from the Dodgers, like that looked good. That looked good. This doesn't look good, but I'm absolutely eating it.
See, I think it looks good. It's just, it looks like something that would take a lot of work to eat.
You need a fork and knife to actually to have a Renegade Dog.
And you're not going to get the real true version of it because you're going to be fork and knifing it the whole way.
Yeah.
And that's how it looks in the pictures. That's the other thing. That's how it looks in the pictures.
Yeah. It looks like just way too much work for me at the ballpark. Like, just give me some nachos. Helmet cup.
Saying, we don't know how it looks in real life.
No, I'm with you. Like, just give me nachos. Yeah.
I don't know if that's something that I would typically eat at a ballpark. Like, I just like having just like a regular hot dog. Or if I'm at PNC Park, I'll usually get a Primanti Brothers sandwich, right? Uh-huh. Like, that's usually what I'll go with because I don't really get a chance to have them very often. So, yeah, I probably wouldn't go with the Renegade Dog, typically. Matt says, depending on how drunk he is, I might be in that same boat.
Yeah. I would get it. If someone's like, now I'm putting myself up there, because the first game I'm there, people are like, oh, you said you would get it if I told you to. So I'm absolutely eating one when I'm there. I mean, if someone's like, you should get it, I would get it. I would eat it. But yeah, that's like me too. Like, just how am I going to hold my beer with that?
Yeah.
How am I going to get drunk? Just give me a regular hot dog or a Primanti Brothers sandwich, like you said. You know, like I can walk around with that. Like this thing, I'm just, where am I sitting? And I need a bib.
That's the part, man. Like we don't sit.
Right.
Where am I going to sit down and eat this thing?
Yeah. I'm nervous.
We'll have fun.
Hey, the thing is, we're going to probably see a lot of people eat them tomorrow. And like, if you are listening to this and you do eat them, like, let us know what you think.
Yeah, give us some reviews. I am interested,
like, what the vibe is about them.
Maybe by the time we get there, they improve it.
Maybe.
You know what would actually work, I think? Put the pierogies on the bottom, and then dog, and then the pot roast. then the pierogies aren't falling off the top when you're biting. You get the whole thing right there.
Yeah, but I think from a presentation standpoint, you need the pierogies on top.
Piss on the presentation.
Presentation's a big part of it.
Nah.
It's got to look good, right?
I don't care about that.
Now, they're good enough to do this. What if you just made the bun pierogies? Like, what if it was just like two like connected slabs of pierogies?
This conversation has gone too. Yeah, we've taken this conversation too far.
Okay, yep. Fine. I'm just trying to get creative.
I thought my idea was dumb. Yours is worse.
Well, at least it would all be intact.
No, mine would be too. You got the pierogies on the bottom, dog on top, pot roast on top of that. It's one bite. You don't get the pierogies sliding off, all the butter. Right. You're good. I think my idea is the best. It's just, as Jim said, presentation-wise, maybe not the best.
Well, let us know what you think about, because I want to know.
Whatever.
What all else right. We got? Anything else to talk about?
That's pretty much all for me.
I think so.
All I got tonight, too.
Yep.
Should be a fun weekend. Looking forward to it. Pirates are 6-1. Best team in baseball. Let's keep it going.
I'm excited for this series. So, Jim, you're on the post game again tomorrow with Neil, I believe.
Am I?
Sounds right.
It's going to be late again. Well, hopefully you guys see Jim and Neil tomorrow. We'll be back then after the game. But yeah, that's all I have. So we out of here, guys.
I think we're out.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget to like, subscribe. Appreciate you guys. If you hit the join button, you'll see some cool perks. If you want to support us further, like I said, we have something to give away this April for our MVP members. So, but you guys are awesome. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We appreciate you all.
For sure.
It's been a pretty fun week.
Let's add to it.
Yeah.
Let's make it a fun month. Make that a fun summer, a fun season to roll into the fun postseason. Not to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we got to figure out a way. When we're in the postseason, we got to do live postgame shows on location. We're going to have to figure that out. We're going to start planning ahead.
Little behind the scenes, we talked about it. We've never talked or discussed like postseason stuff, and it's like this might be a possibility. So
maybe live post game shows from Primanti Brothers.
Jim said it.
I'm gonna get so fat.
Nobody asked yet, but Jim said it. Let's get out of here. All right, guys, thank you for watching. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye bye.
Peace out, guys.
See you guys.
Hey, you all, thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.